I want to say just a few things about what I like to refer to as an environment of care, which is the environment that we'll be creating together here today. If we were on retreat together, I'd spend quite a bit of interactive time creating an environment of care. Today, I'm just going to tell y'all what to do. And that's just for efficiency. And I want to acknowledge that this acronym CARE comes from working with teens through the nonprofit Peace in Schools. So in the first semester-long credited mindfulness course that ever happened in Portland and in our country, by the way, I asked the teens about three-fourths of the way through, how would you describe this environment out of which everything we're doing is arising? Like what, how would you speak to this? And we played around in an interactive way with creating an acronym. And I realized that the acronym we came up with is the acronym that had fit for every retreat I'd ever done with adults. So now I use it everywhere, but I want to credit these young people who helped me create this. C is confidentiality. A is acceptance. R is reverence, which is particularly badass in a high school. You know, picture your normal public high school. Where are the spaces that folks are dropping into an experience of reverence? And we define reverence with these teens as respect tinged with awe. And then E is empathy. So that's the environment I'm going to be inviting you all to sign on for. Again, we're not going to go into other nuances about the environment of care other than remember, please, that the mic is something you'll need if you're speaking so everyone can hear on Zoom. And let's keep in mind, step up, step back. Is there anyone, raise your hand if you're not familiar with that framing, step up, step back. Okay, great. Wow, a lot of you, awesome. Gosh, I live in a bubble. Okay, so step up, step back. It's just one way to refer to recognizing where you land in relational spaces regarding your desire, interest, pull to share. So how many of you are the people or one of the people in the room that's likely to want to share a lot? This would be me. So, you know, you're someone that when you're entering spaces, you like to engage. You like to bring your voice into the room. How many of you are like, oh, if I can disappear, CJ, where are you? I'm looking at you. So if you could disappear, you might, right? There's like this continuum. Okay. So here we're consciously practicing stretching ourselves in the name of growth and practice. So if you are someone that would be looking for the mic a lot, maybe today is the day that you're practicing watching things arise, but not necessarily taking the mic each time or just paying more attention to the collective than maybe sometimes you do. So you're recognizing that maybe you've shared three times, but some people haven't shared once. Okay. And then if you're someone who's like, oh, I would never go for the mic in a group like this, maybe today is your day to stretch into that discomfort from a place of practice. Okay. So that's the way I like to talk about step up, step back. So can we all sign on for these agreements without us needing to spend a whole lot more time on, yes, what's said in the room stays in the room and practicing acceptance, remembering reverence, empathy. Beautiful. Thank you. Regarding confidentiality, this is one aspect of the environment of care that I have found over time can erode trust the most. So really be mindful. Fine to take your learnings from the day, not fine to take other names and people's personal stories from the day. It can be really eroding again of trust to run into someone in town that is a friend of someone that was in the workshop and maybe they're an acquaintance of yours and then they know something about your life that you shared in this space. So truly what's said here stays here. And that goes for folks on Zoom too. Thank you. I wanted to set a frame of sorts for our time together today. So I'm going to just share a little bit from this book, The Heart of Who We Are. And y'all, when they printed this book, they did a first draft printing, and I was horrified because I like had never had to use readers to read a book before. And I'm like, what's up with writing a book and then needing to like get glasses to read the book? And I contacted them about it, and I was like, okay, print is way too small. That feels inaccessible. And they were like, do you realize how big this book would be if your print was bigger? It would be like a doorstop. So I didn't win on that one. Our own self-realization is the greatest service we can render the world. Sri Ramana Maharshi. We all long to be happy. Not happy as in glee, but deep contentment. We all long to feel at ease, to know that we're okay, that life is okay, to be at peace. And we're deeply habituated to look for this happiness outside us, to grasp and scramble for an experience that at best ends up being fleeting and then something we long for again. We forget that this experience we long for is already seated in the heart of who we are and that it's always here. Have you touched this peace, this contentment, this deep knowing of who you truly are, and then ever struggled because you recognized the degree to which the world around you didn't reflect this experience of our true nature? Our true nature, oneness. Spiritual practice reveals the reality of oneness. Part of me feels called to write about this reality and nothing else, to live quietly, to meditate often, to be still, to perhaps make goat cheese on an island in the Puget Sound with my husband and our dogs. By the way, when I was writing this, I had no idea that I would end up moving to Whidbey Island. So it's kind of fun. I'm not making goat cheese yet, but it's an intention. Another part of me can't write or teach about this reality exclusively. I'm propelled by a deep call to address how in so many spiritual practice settings, this oneness is named, yet not reflected in our daily lives as practitioners. Not to mention how many report feeling overlooked, excluded, and ignored in prominent spiritual communities. The realities of their lives unseen, even unwelcome. How can I, a former monk with a lifelong commitment to non-harming, talk about oneness while participating in systems that I recognize as harmful, systems that I can't be teased apart from? How can I speak about this reality of oneness without addressing the ways that we don't often act on behalf of this knowing? How can I recognize the privileges afforded to me based on race and class while also coming to term with the way in which it's not a quote-unquote privilege to be part of a system of domination and othering? What do I mean by othering? Actions arising from the perception of separation. Behaviors that don't reflect the truth of oneness. This divide speaks to two realities. The reality of interconnection and oneness, the absolute reality. And the reality of isolation and separation, our relative experience, where we enact the shared delusion that we're fundamentally separate from each other on personal and collective levels. These are two truths. The truth of the absolute and the truth of the relative. the relative, the conventional, the material, things as they appear to be. The absolute, the ultimate, things as they are, truly are empty. Empty, not as in a grim void or kind of nihilism, not nothingness, but empty of objective experience, empty of language, empty of meaning, empty of separateness. Everything comes from something else. Everything is connected to something else. No thing exists in a vacuum. No thing stands on its own. Things simply appear to. Emptiness means empty of limitation, emptiness, spaciousness, emptiness, openness. Emptiness, the home of possibility. The great mystery, where nothing is formed and nothing is known. So give yourself permission in this moment to rest the attention in emptiness.